on 98 FM and online. This is Phoenix FM.
Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Orient Hour. It's Andy Gilson in the studio. We'll be passing over to a pre-record from Billy Herring and the guys, which was recorded earlier via Zoom. Just to advise you that obviously there are a few little electronic noises and a bit of banging and crashing at the beginning. I believe it's electronic noises, or Billy was deciding to smash up his crockery. One of the two. But apart from that, understand there's a little bit of a delay sometimes on people answering with Zoom. And the good news is that next month we should be returning to studio broadcast, but in the meantime, let's pass over to Billy.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Orient Hour. My name is Billy Herring. I'm going to be your host for today. Tonight, we're joined by my regular panelist, Jamie Stripe. Jamie, how are you?
Fine, thanks, Billy.
We've got Orient Comic come back to join us. OC, nice to see you again. You well?
You too, yeah. Very good. Thanks, Billy. Yeah.
Fantastic. And Christian Wheeler, after your fantastic debut last week, I hope you're going to be as consistent as the Orient's current form.
You can't beat that. 6 points in 4 days. Brilliant.
Get in. And lastly, Jacob Ranson has joined us from Argent London Sports. Jacob, how are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks. Yourself?
All good, all good. Yeah, certainly better after 6 points. Okay, so let's get straight into it then. Orient 1, Newport 0. Wilkinson gets off the mark and we get 3 points. So we started the game with the following lineup. It was Lawrence Vigouroux in goal, Tunji Akinola, Joe Widdowson, Jamie Turley, Dan Happy, Usise, Joby McAnuff, Connor Wilkinson, Dan Kemp, Craig Clay and Danny Johnson. Obviously, we were a bit stuck with regards to the starting lineup because we had a fair few people not available. See, Brophy unavailable through suspension, and Abraham's unavailable, not allowed to play against his parent club. What did we make of the starting lineup, everybody?
Joby made a big call, didn't he? Brought himself back after the Scunthorpe game. Made a big difference, I thought. I thought he directed traffic in the midfield. We looked a lot more competitive, didn't we? We tried to sort of take the game a little bit to Newport, didn't let them settle. We knew how important Sheehan is to them, and I think they had a game plan to try and unsettle him. And I think right from the off, I think we did okay. We were unspectacular, but we certainly, you know, held our own for that first half, and obviously went on to better things in the second.
OC?
Yeah, sort of echo what Jamie said, really. I think one of the sort of obvious negs when Joby decided to take the management job was that we're going to lose him on the pitch, because even though he's 39 years old, he was outstanding in the promotion season, and he's still clearly cuts it at, you know, League Two level. And just whenever he doesn't play, or just miss something in the middle of the park, don't they? And I think bringing him back in just seemed to galvanise him a little bit. And I guess as much as anything, his hand was forced because there were so few options. One of the sort of things that was very noticeable on Saturday was how thin the bench was, just for various reasons. What's been going on with injuries and suspensions, and with Abraham's not being able to play. And so I presume Joby only really did it because he had no other options. But from an Orient fan's perspective, I think it was a bit of a blessing, really. You know,
Christian, what did you make of the fact that Freeman was injured at the weekend? Do you think he would have played if he'd been injured? Do you think Joby would have left himself on the bench?
I don't know. It's a tough one because, as I said before, it's very hard. I think it's very, very hard to be a manager and still have that line of authority. Obviously, as a coach, assistant coach, you've still got one foot in the players' camp. You can still be very friendly. But, you know, as they said, you know, many people will say about Justin, you know, Justin was one of the boys up for a laugh, but when it was work time, and there was that line of respect there, and he's ruthless. So I think it would have been hard for him to play if Freeman was fit. Disagree a little bit with the boys. I thought he was quite decidedly average on Saturday. I thought he was average tonight as well. We're not surprised he came off. But on the other hand, he's our best player. He's a massive influence. He's a massive influence around the players. So even his stature was probably, in being on there, has made a massive difference. For me, Saturday, the massive change and the game changer for me was Hector Kyprianou coming off the bench. I think we got 15 yards further up the pitch. He takes it on the back foot. He's a lot more positive than Cisse. He's quicker in possession. He gets us on the front foot a lot quicker. And I think, you know, we started well on Saturday, and I think we dropped off and was probably surrendered a lot of possession for half an hour. Like, they, you know, apart from the ex-Dagenham lads flick on that hit the post, I would say they really troubled us. You'd expect the keeper to save the one he did. But I think second half we was decent. And as I say, I think a lot of that comes from Hector coming on and getting us on the front foot. I think they done really well second half.
Jacob, as Christian said just now, he seemed to free us up with Hector coming on. It allowed Craig Clay to go further forward. It allowed us to challenge in their box rather than sort of being on the back foot all the time. Why do you think at the moment that Cisse is maintaining his place? Is it just down to injuries, or is the manager seeing something we're not?
I think it's a mixed bag, really. I think when I spoke to Joby when he sort of first took over in that first week, he very much liked the leadership that Cisse brought. And I think when you think of him perhaps not playing himself, it was massively important to have Craig Clay and Cisse, a bit more experience in there. On the flip side, I've been saying for probably months now that I want to see Hector sort of take on that role instead of Cisse and really make it his own, as every time I've seen him play, he's massively impressed me. And much like Christian said, he changed the game, and he made it so much more positive, bringing the ball forward rather than side to side and creating such a huge impact. Just a shame, really, that he's gone off on international duty now, because perhaps he might have had that spot, but obviously it would be without him, and that means Cisse stays in the team. But going sort of back to my first point, I think first and foremost, when Joby took charge, I think it was all about cementing things and a bit of leadership. You see Jamie Turley come back in, very vocal character. Cisse stayed. He was very clear that he wanted Clay to be his captain, and sort of saw him taking on that role at a similar age that Joby himself did. Even Joe Widdowson, he sort of spoke highly of him and wanted his presence of experience. So I think that was primarily the main reason for Cisse keeping his place at first. And now it has very much become injury and obviously Hector going off on the international break.
With Hector going away on the international break, do you think that, now it's not often that Orient have a club versus country row, but given the situation he finds himself in, where Hector got himself into the team, he played a couple of games, then he got sent off, was suspended, he finds himself back on the bench. Now he's just breaking back into the side. He then goes away on international duty. Do you think that at any point he would have maybe considered refusing the call-up to stay with the Orient to cement his position in the side? I'm going to open it up to the panel. What do we think?
I would say no. As sort of a young lad, he's going to take every opportunity he can to just be playing football, and going off to represent your country is obviously a huge honour. Probably going to guarantee some football in that time. It would be a great experience for him. And like I said, at the age of 19, he wants to take all the experiences he can. That's the only way he's going to become a more rounded player, I would say. And obviously, I think he would hope that when he comes back, he can get back in that Orient team from playing a bit more and sharpening up on that international break.
Christian, you immediately shook your head at me and went, nah, you're being harsh, Bill.
Nah, if I was his agent, I'd be making sure that he was on that plane. You know, we're all Orient fans, but no disrespect. You know, I think I said it last week. I thought Dan Hatt would be the kid that went to the top. I originally thought Dan Hatt was, you know, very much a Rolls Royce kid that had everything. Again, maybe a bit controversial, but I think he has very much stalled in the last year. And I now look at Hector to be the one that could really be the one that goes to the top. I think the kid's got everything. So I think he'll, you know, it might not be this season. He'll have to come in and out. But I think he will end up, you know, cementing his place in Orient. And, you know, I'm sure there's lots of clubs looking at him already. You know, he could even go in the summer. But, you know, I think he'll find himself higher than Orient. And obviously, as we just said, you know, international call-ups, that, you know, you never know when they're going to end. So for a young kid that can go away and play, a different style of football. I remember Ross saying that he quite often played in a three for Cyprus. That adds to his game, gives him more tools. But as I say, I really do think that the kid's got all the tools to really kick on. And I'd be very surprised if he's not on a lot of London clubs' sort of radars higher up the pyramid. I think he's the real deal.
On that note then, Jamie, do we think he'll sign a new deal? Obviously, you know, his deal's up in the summer. You know, do we think he'll sign a new deal, or do we think he'll maybe move on and play at a higher level?
Well, you'd have to say that if someone did come in for him from a higher level, he'd probably bite their hands off just to get a chance of playing a higher level football. It's a funny one, isn't it? I mean, if he stays at Orient, it's more chance of him being a regular. Let's put it that way. But again, if you get a chance to play in the Championship, you know, you take it, don't you? I don't think it stopped Macaulay Bond going and Josh Caroma. They took their chance. I think he'd jump at the chance. I'd love to see him become a regular at Orient. But like you say, it's the lure of a higher grade of football and a better pay rise.
Would you say though, when you look at the crop of youngsters that we had come through and obviously moved on, when you look at that group that we had, obviously Josh Caroma was at the Orient and played over 100 games for us, I would say, or nearly as in, you know, Dan Happy stayed, he's got over 100 games on his belt. Macaulay Bond was an established professional by the time he'd left us. Whereas you look at the likes of Tristan Abrahams, left us, went to Norwich, hasn't really played, has now found himself back in this division. Stephen Alzate is the only one, really, I would say, who's gone and kicked on and from that particular side. So, you know, is it in his best interest to stay with us, establish himself in the first team, get, you know, 30, 40 first team games under his belt, then look to move? Or does he take that risk now? Does he take that chance now and try and play at a high level immediately? I know that wages will obviously play a factor in it as well. If someone's going to offer him 5-6 grand a week, he's not going to get that down the Orient. That's absolutely understandable. But, you know, it is a bit of a conundrum. So, OC, what do you think?
I think that all the talk's a little bit premature, purely based on he is very green. I totally agree with what Christian said about... You look at him as a player and he does look like he's got certain attributes that you very rarely see in a player who's that young and inexperienced. He always seems to me that his first touch and his awareness of what's around him when he first gets the ball is outstanding for a kid of his age. And he always seems to be sort of doing things almost before anyone else knows what's going on. And for someone as inexperienced as him, that is a joy to watch. And add to the sort of size of the physical presence he's got. And I don't think it'd be impossible that one day he drops back and plays centre-half. He's just got the sort of physical presence and the brain he looks like he's got in his head. It is potentially a very nice mix. But the only thing I'd sort of say on the flip side of, you know, when we're asking questions like, why is he not playing now? And sort of, could he perhaps move to a Championship side or something like that? He is very green and he does make green mistakes, or in my view, he has made sort of green mistakes in virtually every game he's played for. And of course, you're going to iron that out in time. But I suspect that's why Joby's rather sort of stuck with people like Cissé and Clay, who I don't think, you know, anyone would claim that certainly someone like Clay's, you know, someone like Kiprion, who's got the potential to exceed anything that a player like Clay, with all due respect to Clay, would produce on a football pitch. But he is green and he has got a fair way to go just in terms of getting streetwise. So, I mean, I'd love to see him sign a new contract. I'd love to see him get game time, whether it be with Cyprus or with Orient, and hopefully maybe get another 2 years at Orient. And then, you know, if everything pans out as we all seem to think it will do, then he might get a gig in 2 years' time in sort of League One or the Championship. But for me, I think if he left Orient in the summer, I think he'd barely make it on the bench of a Championship side. So I'd love to see him stay, personally.
I mean, a lot was made this week of the fact that Joby had the infamous, he's got 7 days on the training pitch with him now. What differences did we see on Saturday that we haven't seen in previous games? Christian, anything you particularly noticed?
Obviously, you know, I spoke last week about getting a bit of identity. So, obviously time on the training ground just gives you that time to impart your way of playing on the players. I wouldn't say I saw any massive differences on Saturday, but what I think he got massively right was bringing Joe Widdowson back in and bringing Tunji back in. I think I said in our group chat, I know, you know, even in my in WhatsApp group, you know, sometimes he'll get a bit of stick, Joe Widdowson, but for me, he does everything that you want a lower league fullback to do. You know, he'll never get beat on the back post. He's strong in the tackle. You can really count the times on one hand that he's been beat on the outside in the last 3 or 4 years. And I think he never lets anyone down. He comes into the side, always gives a 7, 8 out of 10. And, you know, more often than not, you know, he makes us look stronger. Over the other side, you know, I said it tonight, I think Tunji is probably one of the best one-on-one defenders that you'll see at this level. And two, I think whenever he plays fullback, I wouldn't say it's his best position purely and simply because as an out-and-out footballer, he's you know, he's not a fullback that's going to get it down and hurt you. But his pace really puts the other centre-halves at ease. So I think that's two massive decisions that he made right. And I also think that, you know, we spoke about getting crosses in the box. I think, again, Kemp's consistency has gone up a little bit. I think he was good Saturday. But more than that, I think he got Connor Wilkinson going both ways on Saturday. I think both wide men worked really hard on Saturday. And they both looked a threat. And you know, if you're a wide man, I think Joby alluded to it in his interview after. You know, when you've got one wide man crossing from one side or it's set back to a fullback and he crosses it, you want your other wide man really no further than the far post all the time. And, you know, that's where he scores from. You can see, you know, he went up to Wilkinson after and, you know, that might be something that they've worked on. But we just looked more of a unit on Saturday. They got more of a performance out of everyone rather than people in dribs and drabs. And, as I said, I said it before, I can't really see Freeman getting back in. You know, that if someone's dropped down to gain some confidence to go back in the championship, for me, you know, he's miles away from being a championship player, you know, on what I've seen.
Jacob, do you think, with regards to Freeman, if he is fit for Saturday, are we playing him in the right position? Because I'm not convinced I quite know where he's supposed to play. Is he a deep lying midfielder that breaks from deep? Is he a forward thinking player that plays in the middle and threads balls through? Is he a wide man? I don't quite know where he should be playing. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I was really sort of pleased when I saw the signing, thinking, you know, championship caliber player, perhaps not quite championship, but he'd done a good job in League One, bowl records to Wickham fans. And I think the biggest perk was that he was versatile, but I think he is one of them midfielders that likes to get on the ball and carry it forward. But I just don't think we've seen enough of that. And I think most of the games have sort of just passed him by. And going back to sort of the chat earlier with Joby bringing himself back in, I think having Joby out of the team and someone like Nick in, you sort of lost the leadership, you lost some energy. And you just didn't have that sort of mould of player in there. And I mean, I'd love to see Nick Freeman in some of the videos I've seen of him carrying a ball forward and scoring an absolute screamer. But I think we're a long way off seeing that. And I don't know whether that was perhaps match fitness or the way he was being played. But you'd like to think with sort of the likes of Cisse or Craig Clay or even Hector in behind him, he has a bit more freedom to roam like Joby does, and he should have been able to do that, which is extremely disappointing, and we haven't seen any of it.
Well, obviously, Danny Johnson coming back into the side and has looked out of form, shall we say? Or what do you think that's down to? Is it purely down to service? Does he look tired? Although he has just come back from an injury, is he still carrying something? Maybe or. What do we think?
It's just a tough gig, the sort of role he's in, isn't it? Where you've got to, you know, you're up front and you're old. He's not the biggest. And he was obviously, I think we said the last time I was on, he had numbers like Marco van Basten, didn't he? I think there were some numbers going around that he scored 45% of his chances in the first half of the season. And that was never going to sort of carry on like that. You don't, you know, he's spent, I think he's 27 years old and he's spent the majority of his life playing either non-league or very basement league football. So he's clearly not a superstar, and yet if you took the sort of first half of this season in isolation, he suddenly looked like a, you know, a sort of League One Championship striker, which he probably isn't, and he's probably just a bit of a case of reverting to the norm a little bit. But I thought he looked quite sharp tonight, actually. He was off sort of slim pickings tonight, but he had that chance in the second half where he sort of got the run of the ball and he tried to knock it over the keeper's head, and I thought it was a bit unlucky, and he had that shot from distance in the first half. I think, to answer your question, I think he's probably just reverted to normality after an extraordinary period of form and perhaps a little bit of luck in the first half of the season. I think he's done okay, really. You know, it's just when you're playing that role, and it is a tough gig, and you have a couple of games where things don't go your way and suddenly people start saying, is he out of form? But I think he's doing all right, you know, and he's probably just reverted to normality, really.
So obviously, yeah, tonight's game or Tuesday night's game, we started with the same starting lineup. Again, was that the right decision? Is it the old adage where you don't change a winning side? Or would anyone have done anything differently at the start, do we think? Christian, would you have done anything different?
Not really, no. I am a firm believer if you're winning, then people have to find, to OC's point about Freeman, you have to find yourself back into the team. I would have kept the same team. I also think there's probably not a lot of changes that you can make right now. I think it was very, very, the only change I would have made was at half time, but we'll get on to that, I suppose. But yeah, for the game, I would have kept it how it is, and you know, a winning team deserves to get another crack, I think.
Yeah, I mean, on that, I've got to say, it was one of the worst games of football I've ever seen tonight. It was, let's be honest, the game itself was dreadful, and for 87 minutes, it was two of the worst footballing, two of the worst teams I've seen all season. Am I being harsh?
Yeah, it wasn't much in it. A lot of hoof ball, no real sort of chances. Teams sort of move the ball, and you thought maybe it's going to liven up, and it never quite came to that, and that was quite depressing, I suppose. But I suppose the positive was the defensive play from Orient. I mean, I thought Jamie Turley was outstanding, to be honest. Made lots of blocks, some good tackles and interceptions, and he's one player I've been sort of really impressed with under the Joby McEnough reign in general.
Jamie, was it just down to the conditions, or are we just a poor side at the moment?
Well, I think it was two poor sides, really, to be quite honest. Although the conditions played a major part. But again, it's one of those games that we battled away there, didn't we? We didn't surrender. They came at us like, you know, like a bullet at a gate, and you know, we stood firm. And I agree about the point about Jamie Turley, because I think he's been a major success under, you know, McEnough's reign. I mean, it's one of the first things he did. He made a big call in dropping Dan Happy in that game at Grimsby, and you know, he's been ever present ever since. And I thought we held the line really well tonight. But again, it's one of those games where all our back four have probably come off that pitch nursing headaches, because that's all they did. They had the ball all night. It was just like a battering they got, but we stood to get the win.
I think Joe Widdowson was superb tonight as well. Sometimes I can be critical of Joe Widdowson. I do think he's a solid pro, but I don't think, obviously there's the Widdowson Brophy argument who plays where, but I thought tonight he was absolutely fantastic. You know, he was, every time they threatened to go over the top and either Happy or Turley got sucked under the ball, Widdowson seemed to be there, tucking him around one side, and Akinola around the other side as well, to be fair. I thought the back four as a unit worked exceptionally well under a barrage of pressure, certainly in the first half. You know, Carlisle, as you say, came at us, really hit us hard in the first half with the wind behind them, what have you. But yet, I don't think there were too many heart-in-mouth moments for me. Christian?
No, totally that. I thought the back four was superb, to be quite honest. And as I say, I think I said it to you at the weekend. there's no comparison. I think Brophy's a much better footballer. You know, in flight, he's a good player. I think if he had a, if he had that killer final ball, he'd probably be playing in the Championship because he's got great balance. He's got great speed, create opportunities. So the only thing that lets him down really in attacking sense sometimes his final balls don't match the play before. But not to give secrets away, but if I was a manager of a Division Two team and I had a target man, you know, the only area that he gets caught out on Brophy is he gets caught out, you know, under the ball and the back stick. If I had a target man, my target man would be peeling wide to the back post every time that ball went wide and try and beat him in the air. And as you said tonight, you know, even when Widdowson doesn't win the ball, he stiff arms someone so they can't win it. They can't win it either. I think back four was superb. And as I said, at half time, I'd have taken Cisse off. I'd have got Joby and Clay to sit, and I probably would have gone 4-2-4 in a way. And I basically would have just gone front to back very quickly because, you know, they did it and we was under a lot of pressure. You know, they slung it in every time they could. And I think, you know, every time we did play it forward, whether it hit someone on the back and we got on the second ball or it was scrappy, they're the type of games you want as a team to go away from home. You know, they've probably been sitting on a coach all day. A 1-0 clean sheet away from home, scrappy, smash and grab. You know, that actually moulds teams. That actually, you know, we done that quite a lot when we went up in the National League. I know it's a different level. But the last point I will make is it's probably an outrageous shout and you're all probably put your eyebrows up. But I think on the last show, I said I was in the training ground the day before Ross got sacked and we were talking about Iceland and going over things. And when I stepped away from the training ground, I actually put in my Orient WhatsApp group is Jamie Turley's actually the best player that we've got. And I'll say that because I've always been impressed by Turley, but I think, you know, there could be question marks about his attitude and there's been question marks about his injuries and whatnot. But if you look at him fit, how he's playing now, the man's a man mountain. He's really strong. He's quick. He's physical. He's a threat in both boxes. Great defender, you know, can score goals at the other end. And not only that, everything he does is with intent. You know, I said to my boys, you know, when he passes it, he doesn't, you know, he doesn't mess around with it. He don't fanny around with it. He wraps it into someone. And when he clears it, he does it with intent. And I think he's come back in and I think he's been really, really, really good. And I think, you know, that show tonight, it was a bit of a backs against the wall job. And I think he was superb. And I think we've maybe missed that little bit of leadership. I think we saw a little bit of that from Thompson. I think that's another great sign. And obviously, he faded away, but you've got some young boys in that back four, and I'm sure they're really reveling in having him back in the team. So I'm massively impressed with the back four tonight. I think they've done really well.
Are you giving Turley a new contract then?
I don't know. I do know that he's supposedly on very good money, shall we say. I think at the time we needed a centre half. I think he had the same agent as Justin, and he might have got a good deal. I think if he's fit and he's playing in that attitude, then why would you? Why would you not? Because, you know, I'd love to keep Tunji, but realistically, you know, if people are not watching, I think he's out of contract. Is he? Is he? Tunji's out of contract at West Ham. You'd like to think.
I believe so.
Yeah, I think he is. You'd like to think people in football have been doing their homework and looking at him as an out of contract kid that someone higher up might take him. But obviously, I'm sure Orient have made an offer to him. But, you know, I don't know. I think Coulson's time's probably a great servant as he's been. I think the difference between the two, I think they're both very dominant in the air. They're both threats in both boxes. But if you look at the games over the last two seasons, maybe when we've come back into the league, anyone that's mobile and with a bit of pace, unfortunately, Coulson struggled. Whereas, you know, I think maybe Turley has the edge on him a little bit. So if he carries on like that to the end of the season, he's giving himself a massive chance of getting a new contract in my book.
Jacob, you're vigorously nodding your head. You definitely would be offering Jamie Turley a new deal.
Yeah, I mean, I probably wouldn't have done a while back, thinking a bit like Christian said, big money, older player, perhaps maybe past it. I was thinking maybe a bit now. bit like obviously alluded to with Josh Coulson. I mean, great servant to club, but I would say his time's up, and we'd all probably like to see him go out and someone else come in now. But in terms of Turley, I've been obviously lucky enough to be at the games, and one thing you notice in at the games at the moment is the vocal presence where there's no crowd, and I think if you're going to lose someone like Joby on the pitch, you need vocal characters. And not only is he a good defender, he is, you hear him from everywhere and he's constantly talking, and even the strikers will hear him belting words out to him. You know, it's, I think to do well in League Two, you need 5-6 leaders on that pitch, as well as some good talent and quality. So I think for that fact, I would be looking at keeping him on.
So we get into halftime at 0-0, you know, and it's a poor first half, but what do we then do second half? I'm sitting there at halftime and I'm going, we've got to change this here. Now, me personally, I would have gone with a 3-5-2. I think I would have taken Cissé off in the middle. I would have pushed Connor Wilkinson inside in like the 10, stuck Tristan Abrahams on, and just gone direct, long. Anyone else, would you have changed the formation? Do you think Joby was right for keeping it as it was? Jamie, I'll come to you.
Yeah, I think he was proved right, really, wasn't he? I think you were right about bringing on Abrahams at some point, but obviously you want Johnson to try and get a bit of form. I think Wilkinson's played himself into a bit of form the last 2 or 3 weeks, and you kind of think, well, you know, he's our main point striker. Let's see how it goes. But it's one of those stick or twist scenarios. The longer it goes on and you're still in the game at 0-0, you think, well, you might be able to nick one anyway. But if you start changing things around, you know, it could go the other way, like it did for Newport's manager the other day when he made 5 substitutions and completely lost the rhythm of their side and let us in for the win. So I think Joby did the right thing. Obviously, he was proved right at the end. The only problem with that is if we do concede a goal quite late on, it's going to be difficult to get back into it. So, you know, I think it was I think Joby took himself off after 75 minutes and put a fresh pair of legs on, which helped us. So, you know, I think he was vindicated.
Yeah, I mean, OC, I thought Louis Dennis looked bright when he came on, actually. Obviously, he hasn't played for a long time. And I thought as a player who seems to have lacked confidence while he's been at the O's, I thought he looked sprightly.
Yeah, he actually reminds me a bit of Freeman as a player, or Freeman reminds me of Louis Dennis. The sort of players that, if you watched them doing kick-ups in the park, you'd think they'd be playing in the Premiership. And then you stick them on a football pitch and you sort of can't quite work out what they're doing half the time. But I don't... Yeah, he did all right. I mean, he had a couple of touches. He did a couple of lollipops and his sort of usual circus tricks. I don't really know what to make of him. Regarding sort of mixing it up at half-time, I sort of thought, Carlisle were a really agricultural side, weren't they? One of the most agricultural sides I've seen this year. And they were physical. You saw them sort of mouthing off a lot. And they just were a proper old-fashioned sort of Division 4 side, weren't they? And given... I presume we were playing into the wind a bit in the first half. Judge, the wind was sort of swirling around a bit, wasn't it? But it looked like we were playing into the wind, and they didn't really have any clear-cut chances. I thought we did all right in the first half, and I think I am in the minority of one on this from a quick look at Twitter, but I actually thought Cissé's deservedly come in for a hell of a lot of stick lately because he has looked a shadow of the player he was at the back of the last year. But I actually thought we played quite well today, and I think games like this suit him, because I think part of the reason why he looked good at the end of last year was because we were a team sort of really on the rack, and he sort of came in there and he steadied the ship a little bit, and he looks very, very average when he's got to actually do something. And I think we've been playing possession football this season, and obviously it's been toothless possession football, and I think he's really struggled in that sort of team where it's sort of his role to try and make things happen. Whereas when, I'm not saying he's just necessarily a backs against the wall kind of player, but I think when a team's sort of bombarding us, he kind of puts his foot on the ball and he just calms things down. But I actually think he did all right in the first half today. So personally, I would have left it as it was at half time. And, you know, in the end, it was just one of them games where it looked for all the world like it was going to peter out to a 0-0. And one team could have nicked a goal. And in the end, we got lucky and nicked a goal. But I thought we did all right today in what was quite a tough situation, really.
It was a proper old school 1-0, grind it out, away win. But you'll take it all day long, right?
No doubt. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, another 1-0 win. 6 points out of 6. Joby's obviously turned it around with regards to results, pretend not necessarily performances. Is he playing himself into a permanent position if he wants it? And this is the question I'm putting out to the rest of the panel now. We discussed it last week. Since then, we've had 2 wins. Have people's minds changed? Christian, last week when we spoke, you were very much very keen to sweep the board, new person coming in. Obviously, we've seen it this week at Salford, where they've got rid of Richie Wellens, they've brought a new manager in. Are you still of the same opinion, or are you starting to change now? How are you feeling?
No, I'd still I can't knock him. As I say, I can't knock him. He's done. He's gone away to Newport, who I think are a good footballing side. I think to Jamie's point, I think they made far too many subs on Saturday. Why you'd bring on the lad Ledley and playing centre half? If anyone had seen him play in Australia the last 6 months, I'm very surprised he got a deal. Let alone playing in a free at his age, but. No, I'd still, for me, I don't advocate really what Salford are doing. I can't believe that, you know, a week or 2 weeks after he's just won him a trophy, whatever trophy that was, you know, he's been sacked. But for me, I'd still rather Joby on the pitch for me. And I know I said he struggled the last couple of games, but I put that purely and simply down to one, not playing for 2 or 3 weeks, whatever it may be beforehand, and two, to my point, it's very, very hard to manage a team and worry about 17 other people when you've got to, really, football comes down to worrying about yourself and your performance and how you do, how you match up against whoever's marking you. So I'd rather have him on the pitch. I still think he could do a job for another year, whether that be coming off the bench. I suppose in a softer, politer answer, I'd say I'd rather have him as a player. But yeah, for me, as well as he's done, as I say, in the last 4 days, 6 points. For me, I'd still rather get someone, you know, a bit more experienced in, and allow him, if he wants to be a coach, to get his experience in. As I say, you know, I'm still very much in that camp. You know, if he wins every game to the end of the season, then, you know, he'll get the job, and I'm wrong. But at the minute, I just think he's more of a bonus to us on the pitch than he would be as a manager.
Is there anyone particular that you would like to see and that you've seen at the moment that's not in a job? So obviously we've had Wellens released. We've got, you know, McGreal was someone that was mentioned before as well. Anyone that you particularly like the look of?
No, not really. To my point about Joby, I think if he stepped away from playing and served his apprenticeship, then I'm not saying that he wouldn't be a good manager for Orient. I'm very much an advocate of young managers. I'd much rather give a younger manager a go that has a little bit served his apprenticeship rather than a 60-year-old dinosaur. But I just think that, you know, we spoke of it last week. I just think there's a circle there that, in isolation, if you ask Joby to pick an assistant and his coaching staff, would he pick those three gentlemen if they weren't there? Would Ross have picked those gentlemen if they weren't there? Normally, as a football club, you go in as a manager, you pick your backroom staff, and you dictate how that football club is run. You know, I just think there's some things there that would need to be freshened up and someone to come in and start a new path. But as I say, if he wins every game from now to the end of the season or gets in the playoffs, then he's obviously the man for the job, you know.
Jacob, coming across to you, what do you think?
Yeah, I think the actual Joby appointment was a bit of a, you know, we don't want to lose his presence just yet. I think he's basically come out and said that this will probably be his final season playing. And as much as everyone else love watching Joby play, and even at the age of 39, when he races down the pitch, you think he's like an 18-year-old at times. But if that's the decision he's going to make, I think it was more that they don't want to lose his presence. Let's give it a go. And if it works out well, then he's the man to lead us forward. As we know, sort of from, you know, even when we had Justin, that the presence of Joby in a national league, you always felt like when we didn't have him on the pitch, we might not win the game. And that's been the story of sort of, well, last season when he was injured. And this season, as we've found out, when he hasn't played, we've sort of looked a bit lost. And And obviously the big task for anyone, then, if it is Joby, is replacing himself on the pitch. But I think performances haven't been great, as we all know, but 3 wins, 2 draws, 1 loss, it's a pretty good start for anyone that's just jumped into a job, and he's got to be given probably a fair crack to freshen things up and assess what he wants to do going forward. I know he's worked under some great managers, and I'm sure he's learnt a lot from them. And like Christian said, I'm always an advocate of sort of a young manager. I just think football is changing so much, and I'll probably be criticised heavily by a lot of fans for saying that. I think 4-4-2, as much as I've loved watching over the years, is probably not what many teams play anymore. And that is probably why Orient are so anti it, and a lot of clubs are anti it. You see a lot of teams line up, they've either got the 4-3-3 or wing backs, and football's forever changing. And I think you need a young mind that's worked under managers that are willing to change formations. And Joby's definitely got that in his locker. So I think I would go as far as saying I think if he carries on and does well and slowly changes the performances from now to the end of the season, he probably is the right man. But I would like to see a bit of a freshen up with some players going and perhaps a change in backroom staff, like Christian said, because I always find it strange when anyone walks in and keeps the same backroom staff from anyone else, as it seems a weird thing to do, but it's happened a lot at Orient in recent. So, yeah, I mean, I think he's got to be given some time, and I think it's the perfect situation right now to give him to the end of the season to see if he wants to be the manager as well. First and foremost, you know, he's very good at being on TV and being a pundit as well, and he might see fit that's the route for him. But I'm sure after this week, he's very much enjoying management. So we'll wait and see on that one.
I mean, talking of dinosaurs who like 4-4-2, Jamie, coming across to you.
Excuse me. Well, he's certainly making a decent fist of it. I mean, a 50% win ratio is not too bad, is it? I'm kind of with Christian. I mean, when Ross got fired, I kind of thought, you know, maybe this is the time, you know, to move forward a bit. We've kind of been treading water since you've been in this division. And like you said, you know, it's time to have a bit of a clean sweep. I mean, we've got 20 contracts of players coming up already. So, and also I think Martin Ling's contract's up. So, you know, it's up to the board. I mean, the one thing I would say, you know, if we're going to make Joby permanent manager or we're going to bring somebody in, I'd rather it be announced at the end of this month or early in April, so everybody knows where we stand, and that whoever comes in can start planning for next season, because I think next season more or less starts now. You know, whichever division we're in, you know, even if we make an unbelievable run to the playoffs or just end up in mid-table, you know, we've got to plan ahead. I think Joby wants it. I have to admit, from what I'm hearing, I think he wants to go at it. I have a funny feeling that Nigel Travis will be only too happy to give to it. Whether the rest of the board are the same feeling, I don't know. But it's difficult. Obviously, the more games he wins, he's going to make it very, very difficult not to give him the job.
I see. Jamie makes a good point there about the board itself. You know, is that, do we think there might be a split there, in so much that, you know, not that they're falling out or anything, but the point is that, do we think that all of the board want to appoint from within, or do we think that actually some of them might want to have a fresh sweep and almost start again?
I mean, I'd be totally guessing on that one, Billy. I've sort of read the rumours on social media about, you know, possibly Kent and Nigel thinking different thoughts on various issues, and I'd just be totally guessing. But I mean, regarding Joby, I'm going to bang my own drum here, and I'm absolutely 100% team Joby, and I'd absolutely love him to get the job permanently. I hope he will, and I don't mean because of recent results. I just think you can base very little on that, really. But my view of it is that as a football club of Orient size, this is the one chance we've got to get someone like McAnuffer. But just not just from his experience as a player, from sort of the very top right down to the very bottom, but as a man, you'll barely meet a more impressive man in football. Like, he's been there and done it everywhere. virtually everyone who's worked with him speaks very highly of him. He's a wonderful player. He's a wonderful ambassador for the sport. He's morally sound. He's good looking. I mean, I just think this is the one chance we've got as a club to get him in. And I can see him going to the very top of the tree as a manager. And if it was my club, I'd just say, Joby, you pick whoever you want around you. You do whatever you want to do. I'll pay you whatever you want, and you just have the gig next season, and you do what you've got to do with this club and see what you can do with it. But I know that I'm in the minority of that view, so we'll see. And I don't own the club, so it won't happen.
Actually, I think everything you've said there is true. To be fair, everything you've said about him being a man and a player and sort of a fulcrum for the football club is 100% right. But our problem, or my problem, would be that we would find ourselves in the same spot that we found ourselves with Ross 6 months down the line. Or if we're not, then I would suggest that he hires someone that's been around the game a lot longer than the other three people that he's got in the dugout with him. That would be something that my person, if he's going to get it, I would my advice to him, or someone's advice to him, should be to get someone in from the outside, because I don't see how in any workplace you want to have varying views and experience and points of view. I just feel at the minute we've got four young coaches that haven't done a lot in the game from a coaching perspective, that might be a little bit naive at times, that might need a bit of help. That would be my only problem with it. Everything you said about the man, the player, being a fulcrum for the football club, an ambassador, the way he speaks, absolutely fantastic. And as I say, it'd probably go down as my favourite Orient player. I think he's brilliant. But managing and playing, or coaching and playing, are a world apart, I think. That's my
only... I agree. I think they need to say to him, look, I'd say to him, look, you have the gig on whatever terms you want, but I agree. I think I'd like to think that Joby would probably think as well that it would make sense for him to get in somebody with a bit of experience in his backroom staff and let him cherry-pick whoever he wants, whoever he's comfortable working with, be it somebody he's worked with in the past, somebody he's played with who's a few years down the line in the past. But I'd just start with Joby and just say, look, you build whatever you want to build around you and let's make it happen, because I just don't think the club of Orient's size will get this chance again.
Do we think that is a compromise that Orient fans will be happy with? Because I know that there's a lot of Orient, there is a split here. You know, some are very pro-Joby, some are very much like, no, we need someone completely new. Do we think that's a compromise if Joby was to say, right, I'm taking the job, but I'm going to bring in an outside assistant who's going to work with me, who's a bit more experienced, from someone completely separate who's never been at the Orient before? Do you think fans would be happy with that? Chris,
probably
come
not, on. No.
I'd be happy with it. The reason being is, as I say, I love Joby. I've got no problem with him, as I say. But for me, managing or coaching and playing are totally different, right? So for me, he has to step, if he wants the job full time. I know injuries and international call ups today may be dictated to him. He has to step away from playing. He has to put the boots away, never put them on again, because, you know. What I worry about with that dugout at the minute is, regardless of what you say and regardless how hard it is, in all our jobs that we go to tomorrow, there's some people in that staff room that you like and some people that you don't. And the people that you like, you are drawn to, and you want to look out for them and you want to make sure that you're right. So as much as that bias, they say it doesn't happen, it happens in all walks of life. So there'll be players in that changing room that them four have gone through the National League with that they like, and there'll be boys there that they don't like. When you're a manager, unfortunately, and I struggle when I come to the end of, you know, I was only playing non-league at the time. I went into coaching and then assistant manager and whatever. It's very hard to go from being one of the boys to I'm now in charge and I can't have any loyalty to any of you. Because as a player, you worry about yourself. You worry about how you're playing, how you're doing, how much money you get paid, and can you get home as early as possible. As a manager, you've got everything else to worry about. And you need someone in that change room that has no association to any of them. So, you know, on games tonight where, you know, there might be a query, we're going to play X because not he's our mate, but we've got experience with him. You want a new set of eyes on that, that has a completely different non-biased view. And I just think, I'm not talking about, you know, a 60-year-old that, you know, that's out of touch with the game, but that someone that can come in there and just be an authoritative figure for Joby that has no bias in the change room, can lend his experience and can help those other coaches. Because just what OC said about Joby, I actually think Matty Harrold will make a very, very good manager. He stepped in the hot seat before. He's a very infectious character. He's been around football his whole life. You go into any change room or speak to any pro or agent, everyone likes him. He's got good respect within the game. He was an old-fashioned centre-forward that had, you know, old-school values in the game. I actually think Matty Harrold will make a good manager. So, you know, someone in there that not only will help the team, but also help those guys continue on their journey. Because my problem at the minute, and Joby falls into that, is you've got four or five blokes that are very much either playing or 1 or 2 years shy of playing. And I just think that there might be a bit of naivety and a bit of lack of experience in there. So for me, if Joby had it with an older head, you know, fine. But, you know, step away from playing and change up the coaching staff for me.
Jacob, you said that you don't think Orient fans would be happy with that.
No, I mean, I just think in general, forget the experience side. You know, Danny Sender come in with no association and he was Embleton's choice. And I mean, people have their views on that, don't they? I think, obviously, I would agree that I would like to see an experienced guy come in to help. First and foremost, like Christian said, Joby and people like Matt Harrold or whoever remains on the coaching staff to improve their sort of next chapter. But I'm not sure whether just bringing one person in from the outside would please Orient fans, really, in the sense of, you know, it didn't last time round, albeit a younger head, I know that, but it didn't last time round and I don't see why it would now. I think there's just a split with people that are pro Joby and then the other half want a clean slate and pretty much a whole new team, I think. So and obviously formations and whatever else are always argued. So I'm sure people could spend hours arguing this point.
It's a game of opinions and that's why we love it. All right, so talking of opinions then, we're going to go on to Saturday's lineup then. So we play Oldham at home on Saturday. It's a 3 o'clock kickoff. Make sure everyone, you remember to buy your match day passes because we're on a roll now, guys. And clearly this is the playoff charge like it was in the 88-89 season. We're going to steamroller into that playoff place and we're going to get promoted. But before we do that, what's the side for Saturday? Because Brophy's now back from his suspension. Does he go back into that back four or is that harsh to drop one of those performers from tonight who have played especially well? Jamie, I'm chucking it out to you first of all.
Oh, thanks for that. do you know what? Since we're at home, as much as Widdowson's played quite well the last two games, he's not letting anyone down, as Christian said. I'd probably bring Brophy back just to give us a little bit more going forward since we're the home team. That would be my only change. Everyone else has performed more than adequately. I think it's only fair to give him a run out on Saturday.
I see. Do you think Joby will keep himself in the side, or do you think he'll drop himself maybe? Push Kemp inside?
Yeah, I mean, Joby was very quiet. The game sort of bypassed him a little bit tonight, didn't it? I thought he played well at the weekend, and today I think partly because of the way the game was played, that sort of game's never going to suit Joby. I think most of the time he was watching the ball go over his head tonight, wasn't he? And it could be also a lot of travel and three games in a week might be a bit too much for Joby's legs anyway. So I think there's a fair chance he does end up not playing at the weekend. I mean, I think Widdowson's been outstanding is probably a bit of a strong word because Widdowson's never the sort of player that's going to be outstanding. But I think he's been really, really good since he's come back in. He sort of calms things down and I sort of feel a wave of calm come over me just seeing Widdowson on the pitch. It's just sort of something about his manner, the way he plays. Nothing seems to faze him. So I'd sort of quite, in an ideal world, I'd like to wedge Widdowson Brophy and Kemp into the team. I think it's quite hard to drop any of them, but I'm not sure if you can, to be honest. That's why I'm glad I'm not a manager. I mean, I suppose the only thing you could do is maybe switch Kemp into the centre, which is where he played for the last sort of 10 minutes today, didn't he? And then maybe you could have sort of Widdowson playing left back, Brophy playing left of the three, but it's, you are then suddenly trying to wedge things in a little bit. Tough one, isn't it? But I think Joby will be back managing at the weekend, I would imagine, yeah.
All right. Well, here's my lineup. I'm going to keep the same back four. I'm going to go 4-3-3. And I don't particularly like 4-3-3. However, 4-3-3, I'm sticking Cisse in the centre, Craig Clay on the right, Brophy on the left of the three. And then further forward, I'm putting Kemp on the left, then DJ, then Wilco up top. Christian, what do we think? You're shaking your head. You're saying no. Well, I like Brophy breaking through from the middle, giving us some drive from midfield.
I would, to OC's point, I didn't really think about it. I think probably the games and the travel probably take its toll on Joby, so he'll probably sit out. To Jamie's point, I would probably keep the same team if it weren't for being at home. So I'd keep the same back four. I'd probably play two sitters. I'd probably play Clay and Cisse. I'd drop Kemp into a 10 and I'd play Brophy out wide. Reason being, just I think Brophy's pace is better out wide. I think in the middle he gets a bit clustered. But I'd just try and be a bit more positive. I'd keep the two sitters, but I'd just basically tell Kemp to attach himself to their deepest midfielder when they've got it or when the ball goes dead. But other than that, I just want to try and get him up alongside, not up alongside, but, you know, just get him closer to DJ that when a ball drops, he can get on it and recycle it wide or make things happen. But obviously, I'd definitely keep Widdowson in because I think Widdowson not only makes us more solid at the back, whoever's playing wide left don't really have to worry about his runner as much and it allows him to be a bit more free. So that'd be my team, really.
Get Kemp playing in between the lines. That's where we want him, isn't it? So,
yeah.
Jacob, coming across to you.
Yeah, I mean, Christian sort of read my mind. I'd probably go similar if Joby's going to be back on the touchline due to everything else. I would play Kemp in that role, and I think it would blend a lot of what Joby's sort of put together already. You know, he's when you saw the Grimsby away game, albeit not that pretty. You saw Widdowson at the back and it allowed Brophy to just keep running at their defenders, which is exciting for us all to watch. I think we saw in glimpses when Kemp went into that 10 role and even if you think back to pre-season when he played against Orient for West Ham 23s, he was sort of brilliant in that role and I think that's probably where he's best suited. And then if you push Clay back alongside Cisse, it allows Kemp to do that and hopefully it allows Danny Johnson to have someone to feed off and get himself back on the score sheet.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for your time tonight, guys. Really, really appreciate it. Thank you, Jacob. Thank you, Jamie. OC, Christian, as always. Take care, everybody. Buy your match passes and hopefully we'll get to see you down Brisbane Road soon. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
It ain't Stamford Bridge. This is E10, and you're gonna hear rocking all over the world again. There's flats in every corner of the ground. You can get your kids in just £5. Get an orienteer. It's only a quid. Get a cup of tea, but there ain't no lids, 'cause it's an Upton Park. Brisbane Road, it ain't White Hart Lane. That's a wrong postcode, it ain't Stamford Bridge. This is E10, and you're gonna hear rocking all over the world again. We had an invite up 7.
on the hour across Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM News.